sometimes we grow up, as we grow up, we hear things and we believe things that just aren't true. Sometimes those things are pretty harmless. You can probably think of something that you grew up believing, and maybe you don't now. And at the time, it really didn't hurt your life, didn't impact you. It just seemed harmless. Some of those things can be harmless, can be harmful. Sorry. Some of those aren't harmless. Some false beliefs eat at us and destroy us. From the inside out, they cause stress and guilt and shame and worry, depression. The idea behind this is our beliefs, true or false, they matter. Think about that. Your beliefs, whether they are accurate, there's truth to them, or not, they still impact your life in a great way. I told you last week that today would be a follow-up. We were in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4, and I know not everyone was here, so I just want to do a very quick recap, not of the whole sermon or anything, or you wouldn't have needed to come last week. I don't want to ever set that tone. So Proverbs 4:7 is the main verse that we focused on last week. And he said this, Solomon said this, the beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Now, really think about that statement. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Now, to me, that sounds kind of tough to understand. Well, wait, if it's to get it, and that's the beginning of it, then what's the end of it? And what he was trying to say was, the first part of getting wisdom is to make a decision that you're going to go after it, you're going to pursue it. And so then we started talking about the challenges of pursuing wisdom. And there was this phrase that Oprah used in 2018 at some kind of award thing, where an acceptance speech, and she said, "Your truth." I'm just sharing those words, but she said something along the lines of "Your truth being what's most important to this world." And I think that's wrong. I think Oprah was wrong in that phrase, that statement. "Your truth," I think, is one of the most dangerous phrases that we have in our society today. When we say that your truth is one thing and my truth is one thing and they're both right, well, that doesn't make sense. We hear things like, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Well, that you might have a sincere belief or a sincere faith in something, but it can't possibly work that way. There has to be some kind of truth, and if we have different beliefs, then we're not all accurate. And so when you think about conflicting beliefs, it just isn't rational. Again, both people can be sincere, but it doesn't mean they're both right. So Solomon gives a warning, and we're going to start in Proverbs 4:14 today. Just to go back just a little bit to last week, just in case you weren't... Siri answered a question for me. Hold on a second. Here's what I found. Better hold that back like that, I guess, because I don't know what she's going to say. They're taking over, I'm telling you. Anyway, last week, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So these words are what we believe are words from Solomon. And David, his dad, had told him some things on his deathbed. And Solomon said, okay, here's what my dad passed on to me, and now I want to pass them on. And so that's what we're getting here. And so he said this, beginning at verse 14, "Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." So I'm going to pause there in the scripture here and look at verse 14 for a second. He starts this all with this phrase, "Do not set foot." Do not set foot. Don't take the first step that may lead you away from godly wisdom or from the truth. Last week, it was all about pursue wisdom, pursue godly wisdom. And we talked a lot about how that means to pursue Jesus and pursue the scriptures. Don't find our truth in other places. And so today, though, we're going to try to get a better understanding of why this mattered so much and what pulls us off track more than anything else. It's interesting to me because what pulls you away might be different than what pulls me away. And what what pulls him away might be different than what pulls her away. What pulls us away from pursuing wisdom or from God's truth may actually not be the same thing, but I think it kind of is. See, generally speaking, there's one thing that keeps us from following God and pursuing His wisdom, but specifically, it might look different from one person to the next. What's something that you feel you could be tempted by? See, what tempts one person may be different. We know it's different. It's just we don't all have the same temptations. And so just personally asking, what is it for you? Don't answer out loud rhetorically. I'm just asking, what is the thing that you feel like maybe you're most tempted by? What's the thing that when you just give it a little thought, if you really started to follow it, you think that could really drag me away from my faith in God? What disaster are you flirting with right now that in an instant could ruin your life? Now, hopefully you're not in that situation, and I think at times maybe most of us aren't in that situation because we put up these guardrails or these things that keep us away from something that could ruin our lives. But I think everyone knows in an instant we could do something that would ruin our lives. So I think he's just trying to drive home this idea that it might not be it might not be right out there, the way of the wicked. It might not look like, it's just, okay, well, there's a door and it says danger on it. Don't walk through that door. It's not that clear. It's a little more subtle. We might not see the danger because we're not looking. We may not be pursuing disobedience to God. But what he's trying to say is we have to intentionally avoid it. And here's how we do it. He starts out with these words here. My son, pay attention. Now really think about those words. How often do we just go through our day and our lives without really giving much thought to anything? Because the day is almost like yesterday, and unless something happens, then I'm not going to react any differently than I did yesterday, so I really can just kind of coast. We just coast through. But he says, nope, pay attention. Pay attention to what I say. Really listen. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. And here's the main verse for today. Verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Now, that's a big statement. Why does our heart matter that much? Everything you do flows from it. He uses different wording over and over again. And what he's saying here is your beliefs determine how you live, so you have to be careful in what you believe. If everything you do comes from your belief, which it does, then we have to be careful in what we believe. See, some beliefs will just destroy you if you don't correct them. The beauty of it is we get to decide what we believe. People can try to instill beliefs into you, your parents, your church, your Sunday school teachers, but ultimately you get to choose. You might choose wrong, but it's your decision. And because of this, Solomon gives this very big, bold statement. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard what you believe, because everything is going to come out of that. The way you live, the way you treat people, the way you act, what you do, everything you do is going to come from your beliefs. Everything we do, big and small, is because of a belief that we hold. Now, we don't always think about those beliefs. Every time I do something, I don't think, okay, why am I about to do this? Like this microphone. Now it will work. I don't have to do that because our beliefs are in us, so we have to protect them. Small things like when I think at night, I plug my phone in and maybe it's at 29%, and when I wake up, it's going to say 100%, but then I wake up and it doesn't say it's down at 18%. Well, my belief was that when I plugged it in, it was going to charge, so I acted based off of my belief. We do this all the time. Big things, small things. The problem is, my beliefs determine the way I act, even when they're wrong. Even when I hold a false belief, well, then I'm going to act in a way based off something that wasn't true. If your parents, if maybe they told you you're clumsy, then you just happen to fall a little bit more. Or when you pick up a gallon of milk, she always spills milk. Well, then she picks it up and she's nervous and shaking and then she spills it again because she had a belief that she's clumsy and she spills milk. If you believe you're funny, you'll probably try to be funny until someone tells you you're not funny. Someone first service asked why I don't tell as many jokes because they didn't laugh at them, so I just didn't think I was funny. But if you believe you're good at basketball and you play basketball with other people and no one passes you the ball, then you start to maybe wonder what's wrong with them. See, it was your belief, but it was a false belief. On a bigger level, if you believe that you're unlovable, someone told you that you couldn't be loved, then you start to act in a way that you are unlovable. If you believe that you can't trust people because someone broke your trust or someone did something that caused you to not be able to trust other people, then you'll never let your guard down, even to those people that you should maybe be most vulnerable to. See, a false belief actually leads us to action maybe as much as a true belief. If you believe God is unconcerned about you, you probably won't pray. If you believe that God's out to get you, you'll probably stay away from him. Your beliefs, right or wrong, they impact your behavior in a big way. And so we have to guard them. Above everything else, he says, guard your heart. Examine them. At least consider your beliefs, because these false beliefs are so damaging. This is how we apply wisdom to our lives. This is the follow-up to last week. We pursue wisdom, but we have to protect it. As many of us were taught these things. Many people grew up in the church, and you've been taught godly wisdom, but over the course of your life, someone's been trying to pull you away from it. Different people, through Satan. He doesn't want us to believe this stuff, so he's going to put people in our lives that pull us away from our faith. So we have some practical application right in the text here. Verse 24, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. After speaking of guarding our heart, then he starts talking about our mouth and our eyes and our feet. This is to protect our heart. The mouth was the first. It seems that like if our heart's in the right place and everything we say comes out of our heart, then we don't really have to protect our mouth. We just have to protect our heart. But he says to protect our mouth in order to protect our heart. I thought, well, how can that be? How do we do that? Well, do you ever start to get caught up in gossip in a conversation with someone else and maybe you join in? Or people around you are kind of negative, so you join in on the negative talk. And there's half-truths. You know he's not telling the truth, so you're going to tell a story, too, that's kind of true, at least enough that it's believable. And then it becomes a habit. You know what happens after we say something enough? Even if it's not true, we start to believe it. We start to believe ourselves, and the problem is we aren't always correct. So he says to protect ourselves from this. Our eyes. We all know that we can't believe everything we hear, but now you can't believe everything you see. I don't know how many videos you've watched on social media, but some of these things, you know they're not accurate. They just couldn't be. And then I like some of these videos have come out where they show how a video was made in the first place. There's a green screen and someone else moving something that you didn't see. We can't believe everything we see. That wasn't the case back then. They didn't have the green screen, but he still knew that perception. I might see something and think, well, this person was trying to hurt this person, but I might not see another person trying to protect them, or I might not understand why he was stealing something, but he was stealing food for his kid. You know, I mean, we don't always know what's going on. Just because you see something doesn't mean it's true. And then he speaks of feet. Where do we go? Where do you go? We find our identity usually in where we are. You're all in church this morning. If you're here regularly, then you would probably say that you're a churchgoer or a member or a Christian. And so we find our identity in that. And because I'm a Christian and I believe what other people here believe, then I'm going to act the same way that they do, even if I don't always know why I do. But then if I go somewhere else and everyone believes something different, then I'm probably going to start to do the things that they do, even if it's not really what I believe. Maybe I've taken in a false belief. A belief does not have to be true to affect you. I hear about this at night sometimes. My 7-year-old daughter, sometimes she gets out of bed, and when you know, it's maybe after 10 o'clock, she's supposed to be asleep, and she says, I can't sleep. There's a bad guy outside the window. Well, I haven't found the bad guy yet, but you know, to her, she believes there's a bad guy out there. I mean, it's in her heart. And so because she believes it, she wants to be protected. And I thought, well, that's just for kids. What about us? Now, you've probably had a moment in your life when your adrenaline started flowing or your muscles tensed up or blood pressure rose, and whatever it was, maybe it was a fear or a worry or an attack in some way, and then you realized, oh, I misread the situation, and then you calmed down. See, it doesn't mean that your belief was false, or it does mean it, you were sincere, but it means that your belief was not based off of truth. This is why we have counselors. So often, people believe something about themselves because someone told them that, or they told themselves that over and over, and they just needed someone maybe to help them to see what's accurate and what's not. And if something is true, work through it, and if it's not, then we need you to see that. So how do we know what to believe? That's a tough one. It would be odd right now if I didn't share scripture telling us exactly how to figure this out, and I think that we have one in 1 John chapter 4. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." Is it of God? Well, is Jesus a big part of it? Is Jesus the main emphasis? Now, does this mean that I can't read a fact from something and believe that it's true? Of course not. But it's those things that offer meaningful life and purpose and identity. Do they match up with what Jesus taught about himself in the world or not? Ultimately, all this idea of wisdom comes down to truth. Without it, there's no wisdom. Last week, I shared the words that David had said to Solomon on his deathbed, and where it seemed that all this came from. And I'm just paraphrasing a long paragraph into just a couple phrases that I shared last week. What is the truth? He says, obey God, trust God, and love God. See, without truth, those phrases don't mean anything. I can say they do, but they actually don't. Without guarding my heart and having the truth in it and living through this wisdom that I've been given, that we've been given, it means nothing. See, without truth, I will decide what I want to do, and then I will justify it into thinking that it's good, or at least I'll try to make it look good. I wouldn't really be obeying God. Do I trust God? Well, without truth, I only trust God in situations that I can logically understand or comprehend. I might say, you know, I trust God with this part of my life because the numbers back it up, or logically it makes sense to me, but I'm not really trusting him. I'm trusting myself and just trying to make it seem like I'm trusting him. Without truth, I won't love God unless I want to. I'll say it. I'll come to church and I'll sing songs saying that I'm in love with God and that I appreciate him, but my actions won't match without truth. Psychologist Chris Thurman wrote, "Truth is the roadmap for negotiating the difficult challenges of life. Without it, we get lost and we develop emotional problems that tell us we're lost. We often settle for no truth at all because they are usually easier. But truth is the only road to emotional health. There is no other path." Jesus himself said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And so when it comes down to it, we have two choices. It's either the world or the word of God. That's where wisdom comes from. Culture or Christ. Now, which of them do you think is more reliable? Christ or culture? I know what we're going to answer. But do we really believe it? See, the culture has continued to change over the years, do we? Things like values and beliefs and what's good and bad, what's appropriate and not appropriate, it changes all the time. You see it. If you've lived more than a few years, you probably used to believe one thing, and now you might believe something different. Small things like dieting, you know, it used to be don't eat fat. If you eat fat, it makes you fat. And now all the diets say eat as much fat as you can and don't eat anything else. I don't know if that would work or not. I'm not a dietitian, just saying that right now. Exercise, if you want to lose weight, just do cardio. Just burn as many calories through cardio. Don't lift weights because it'll make you heavier. And now, you want to lose weight? Lift heavy weights or do the high intensity training. It's just different than what it used to be. There's wisdom, what it's called usually, or knowledge of money and parenting and marriage and things you shouldn't talk about and things that you should talk about, and they keep changing over and over again. It's like, how can I keep up with this? You told me to do this, but now I'm supposed to do this? It always changes. But Jesus said, I tell you the truth over 80 times. 26 times in Scripture, he says, now you've heard that it was said, but I tell you this. He destroyed this conventional wisdom with the truth. In Matthew 7, he said that building your life is like building a house. You've got to have the right foundation. You can build your house on the solid rock or God's unchanging truth, or you can build it on these shifting sands, the culture or the wisdom of the world that continues to change, that doesn't always look bad. It doesn't always seem bad on the surface. But if you build your life on shifting sands, you're a fool. He's that blunt about it. He says it's foolish to build your life on things that are changing every day. So build your house on the rock of God's word, the unchanging truth. And then he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. It's your choice. You get to decide if you want to, one, believe what the Bible says, believe what Jesus taught, and you get to decide if you want to actually live it out or not. The first step towards being released from these things that are holding us back, these false beliefs that cause hurts and habits, it's to accept that maybe what I believe isn't actually true. Solomon and Jesus made it very clear how important it is to live in this wisdom and in this truth. You can probably get by for a while without it, but ultimately, it'll all come crashing down. And so we make a commitment to wisdom from God. No wavering, no compartments, different parts of my life. I will hear, but I'm not going to hear. It's all or nothing. If you want this fulfilling life, you have to be all in. You may have to face some hard truths, some things that you believed about yourself your entire life, things that maybe other people told you or you just continue to tell yourself, and it's harmful. You might have to face some of that stuff, and it might not be easy. Maybe your past, maybe guilt, maybe forgiving someone. I don't want to forgive this person. Well, was the cross enough for them? Maybe I think it was just enough for me or my little sins. What about the person that really did something bad? Was Jesus dying enough for them or not? We have to ask these questions sometimes to move forward. It's the only way to have emotional health and stability. We can choose to live apart from God and His truth or not. But you don't get to choose the consequence of that belief. You won't have a fulfilling life now. These misconceptions will destroy you. They will eat at you. It may not look like it's doing it quickly, but they're gonna continue to weigh on you. That's a choice. We can deny Jesus as the truth. And God will allow that decision, but there is a consequence. See, if Jesus is not your truth, then He's not your way to the Father. And there's no other way to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if He's not the truth, then He's not the way and He's not the life. And that means you don't have a way to God, to the Father, to heaven. You don't have a life now. You don't have a fulfilling life that lasts forever. Jesus offers that. It's a gift. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough. You can come with all these misconceptions about yourself and other people. You can make a decision. You can give your life over to Him, and He will give something back. Eternal life, but a fulfilling life that starts now. But He's got to be all. Missionary Hudson Taylor said, Christ is either Lord of all or is not Lord at all. I think it's a great saying. I don't really like it very much sometimes. Sometimes I just want to pick which part of my life I'll give to Jesus. But we got to give it all. To clear all this up, from Proverbs 4, from David to Solomon to Jesus, wisdom is the truth. And the truth is Jesus. We see it in the Scriptures. We see it in His words. We see it in His example, in His sacrifice, in the power of the resurrection. If none of those things happen, then this probably doesn't make sense at all. But Jesus made it real, and He showed us what that looked like through the power of the Holy Spirit from the Father. So will you make the commitment to pursue Jesus with everything? That's the question you have to answer today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your words. Every time we open up the scriptures and see what it could possibly mean for our lives, I thank you so much. It's hard enough to go through life not knowing why we feel the way we do in certain situations, why we believe certain things about ourselves. We don't even know where some of these things come from. But I thank you that you have given us a way to surrender them to you, to be free of them. I thank you for the forgiveness that you've offered through your Son. And I thank you for the new life that can begin today. And so I just pray that you would give us the wisdom and the commitment to wisdom so that we can live this life both for ourselves, for those around us, but ultimately for your glory. We thank you for Jesus, and it's his name we pray. Amen.